Psalm 135. All right. When you find that, let's stand together in honor of God's Word. If you're able, if you're not able, that's fine. Look along in your book. Psalm 135, beginning with verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. I want you to look at verse number 20, verse 20, same chapter. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, praise and worship. Amen. Amen. You've been away, Pastor. Have you gone off the deep end? Not at all, friend, not at all. Praise and worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. Thank you for the wonderful music we've enjoyed today. Thank you for that wonderful song about the name of Jesus, your precious Son. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Give us a listening ear and the Spirit of God have His way and will in our lives. Lord, defeat pride and help us to humble ourselves. And Lord, may the Word become engrafted in us this morning and bring about a change for the better. We'll thank you for it. Help me, I pray, in Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Thursday we will celebrate a most important holiday, that being the Thanksgiving holiday. Easter time we celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. 4th of July we celebrate our country's birthday. Christmas coming up in just a few weeks, we celebrate the birth of Christ. But on Thanksgiving, we celebrate God's goodness to us for all that He has provided. Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks for all of God's provision. You understand the very first Thanksgiving celebration was not called Thanksgiving, but you remember how that group of settlers and some Indians came together for a time of being grateful to Almighty God. And here now, after all of these years, we have Thanksgiving. I think the most American, as far as Christians is concerned, American Christian holiday, maybe the best of all. And so I'm looking forward to it. But my message this morning is about more than Thanksgiving. It's about something that I mentioned in the study this past Wednesday night. And I'll get to that in a little while. Psalms, the word Psalms. You got your Bible open there, top of the page. There's the word Psalms. Do you know what it means? It means songs. Psalms is a book of 150 songs. This is God's song book. Now, this is not my message today, but singing is a very important component of our life as a child of God. Be careful that you don't make dumb statements like singing is boring or I don't like singing, because God puts a premium on singing. One of the more familiar Psalms, Psalms chapter 100, says, let us come before His presence with singing. So it is a vital component of serving God. It's a vital component of our relationship with God. But my topic today is on the subject of praise and worship. Now, those have become alarming words to people who have determined to stay true to God's Word. And I get that, okay? I get that. I understand it. We have to be careful. Just because a group of churchgoers abuses some kind of Bible terminology does not mean that we should abandon those terms. For example, the charismatic churches have made an abuse of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. And because the charismatic churches have made an abuse of that, Baptists have run the other way. Let me tell you, friend, that being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible does not mean that you speak in some kind of gibberish that nobody can understand. It does not mean that you crawl on the floor and howl like a wolf or bark like a dog. Or holy laughter when somebody is preaching about the horrors of hell. Being filled with the Spirit is not standing on the steps laughing while the man preaches on the horrors of hell. And I've seen that. Not in person, but by way of clip. Okay? Being filled with the Spirit, I am thankful to God that when I got saved, I was among a group of God's people who had the right emphasis and the right belief concerning this matter of being filled with the Spirit. It's not something you and I need to run from. It's something you and I need to run to. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So we are told, we're commanded. That's really not an option, people. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That did not happen the day that we got saved. The day that we got saved, we got indwelt by the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is something that happens to you and me as we seek that, as we ask for that, as we yield. It's not getting more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. When I got saved, I got all of Him. When you got saved, you get all of Him. It's not getting more of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is Him getting more of us. Him getting more of us. Our yielded to Him. It's great for power as we serve God. And as a command of God, we're told to be. And by the way, you go to Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 and you read about being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Word of God. And the first result of both is singing. So when you make a statement like, "I don't like singing," you're confessing that you're not filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit, we sing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. There's the word psalms, okay? So we're to be filled with the Spirit. Don't run away from this matter of being filled with the Spirit because I don't want to be associated with, you know, such and such a church. So I'm just going to stay away from it. Well, such and such church may have abused it, but I've got a command of God. I've got examples all through the New Testament of believers who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit to serve Him with power, to honor Him. So don't run away from it. Now, praise and worship have become very similar to the words, "be filled with the Spirit." As far as Baptist people go, you know, we hear praise and worship and we go, "Oh boy," and for good reason. Because just like, you know, some churches have abused being filled with the Spirit, there are churches today that have completely abused this matter of praise and worship. I can play for you. I have played for you in times past. Clips of praise and worship services where a rock and roll band on the platform performed the song "Born to be Wild." On Father's Day, sang it. And I mean just like you would have heard it if you were lost in the 60s and 70s. "Born to be wild." Pastor, how do you know that? Oh, brother, don't ask. And it all comes back too easy. All comes back too easy. "Born to be wild." I played it here. Right before they sang it, the guy, the lead man of the group, said, "This is for all you dads on Father's Day. Born to be wild." The message of "born to be wild" is a message of rebellion. What a nice thing to do for dads on Father's Day. "Sorry, Dad, but I'm born to be wild." That's heresy. Current country and western songs. Where, and the platform of churches, rock and roll songs. I mean, it's not just Christian words to a rock and roll beat now. Our praise and worship services have their praise and worship services have incorporated rock and roll songs, country and western songs, where not only the beats off, but and the syncopation and everything, but the words are just the words of the world. The words of the world. Praise and worship is now synonymous with flesh-driven music that is used to create a psychological, emotional experience, a mood setter. People swaying and jumping. And I'll tell you what you do. If you watch a clip like that, turn the sound down, mute the sound, and just look at the picture. And with the blacked out auditorium and the choreographed light show and all the beams and all the attire on the platform, and you'll think to yourself, that's a rock and roll concert. I remember the first time I saw it. Sitting in our house in a recliner. Somebody sent me a clip several years ago and I saw it. I was stunned. Because I got saved of that. I got saved out of that. With the drugged out, stoned out crowds at the rock and roll concerts puking their guts out. A man leaning over the body of his girlfriend who had passed out and screaming for help. A lot of fun. Whoopee! Let's do it again. And that's on the stage of a church service? God help us. I think the psalmist wrote, you know, when he got saved, God put a new song in his heart. A new song. But we got that going on now, so you know what's happened to Baptist people? Because we want to please God, and we don't want to get too close to worldly worship. In fact, we don't want anything to do with worldly worship. You say, there is no such thing. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yeah, there is. It's even typified in the land of Egypt. When Moses was told by God to take the children of Israel and go three days' journey out into the wilderness, and Pharaoh tried to compromise with Moses, and he said, look, you can worship God, just do it right here in Egypt. Egypt in your Bible is a type of the world. The lost world. The ungodly world. Moses said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I want to tell you something, people. I'm not being ugly this morning. And I'm just telling you, all across the world today on Sunday, the Lord's Day, there's going to be a lot of worldly worship with flesh-driven music, repetitive words, seven or eight words, and repeat them over and over. And the music gets louder and louder until there's just this emotional frenzy. It's worldly. So because Baptists don't, like us, don't want any part of that, we've run away from it. We've run away from praise and worship. And the truth of the matter is, church, we've gone too far. Way too far. Now we have church services that are stuffy and starchy. We count silence in church as spiritual. And you know, there is a time, I think, for us to be quiet. The Bible does say, be still and know that I am God. And a lot of times in my devotional reading, I get very still in my heart when God's speaking to me. Very still. And there are times in a Spirit-filled service, you know, when it doesn't get dead, it's not dead, it's quiet. And the Spirit of God is moving. I remember back in one of the earlier Revival Fires conferences, and Brother Carter preached, Brother Darrell Cox preached first, and then Brother Carter preached, and he preached that message on miracles. And if you were here, the Spirit of God came in this place. It got still it was still and quiet, and it wasn't dead. People were on the edge of their seat, and you could tell the Spirit of God was moving on Heart's Great Invitation. After the service, we went across there to the gymnasium to have a snack, and we had hot dogs that night, and I was sitting across from Brother Cox. We were both eating a hot dog, and it was kind of quiet because the aura of that service was still with us. We had met with God. Man. And Brother Cox is as country. Y'all have heard him preach. He's as country can be. And I was eating that hot dog, and I said, Darrell, man, was that a service? He said, oh, brother. I said, did you see how quiet it got in that service toward the end of Brother Carter's message? He said, Brother Terry, a loaded wagon don't make no noise. And I knew what he was talking about. I've been on the farm at my father-in-law's house when the empty grain wagon went to the field. Clang, clang, squeak, squeak, bang, 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 bang. It comes back in loaded. Doesn't make any noise. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. Our services, we want God to be a part of our services. We count silence all the time in church, a dead silence, as being spiritual. And we treat the printed order of service as if it were the law of the Medes and Persians. Well, we can't deviate from that printed order of service. It cannot be altered. We've gone way too far in trying not to get caught up in the current praise and worship abuse. But let me show you praise and worship in your Bible. In your Bible. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Look at the next statement. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I didn't know what the ladies were singing this morning. That's just what they did, standing up here, talking about the name of Jesus. And I couldn't help but raise my hand and say amen. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. That's what the psalmist is saying. There's praise. You get down to verse number 20. You see the word there? Bless the Lord. Actually, it's in verse number 19. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord. Oh, poor God. He just ran out of something to say. So the psalmist is writing the words that God gives him, and he writes, bless the Lord. Then he writes, bless the Lord again. And he writes, bless the Lord again. I guess the writer said, Lord, did you run out of something to say? I don't think God ran out of anything to say. I think He's emphasizing something here. And that word bless right there means worship. Both of these, praise and bless, are found many times in God's song book. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the Lord. Used many times in the song book of God. Now, this psalm has no title. I don't have any title above Psalm 135 in my Bible, do you? We don't know the human pen of this psalm. We don't know the particular season, if it was used for a particular season. Maybe it was used on a special occasion. We don't know. It's just given to us. Praise the Lord. Bless. Worship the Lord. Look at verse number 1. That word praise, you know what the Hebrew word there for that English word praise is? Hallel. Hallel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where we get the word from. Hallel. Hallelujah. You know, people get all concerned and all shook up. Somebody in a Baptist service says, Hallelujah. What do I say that for? Well, all he's saying is praise the Lord. Are you against that? You against somebody saying praise the Lord? No, you're not against it. You just enjoy the song where some ladies praise the name of Jesus. Yeah. Somebody says, Hallelujah. All they're saying is praise the Lord. That word bless in verse number 19 and 20, all used over and over again in other songs, other psalms. That word bless is the word barak, which is by definition very similar to the word worship. You know what barak means? It means to kneel as an act of adoration. I talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night. Kneel as an act of adoration. To kneel, to actually lick the hand of the master. That's the mental picture of that Hebrew word, our English word, blessed, the Hebrew word, brach. To kneel and lick the hand of the master. Now, we could give all kinds of reasons for praising and worshiping God. But I want you to see verse number 5 with me. Look at what it says here. The psalmist has been writing, praise, 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 praise. Then he says in verse number 5, for I know that the Lord is great. Folks, do your children know that God is great? Do your kids know that it's a big deal to know God? And for God to know. Do they understand that? It's a huge thing. It's wonderful. It's a big deal that we get to be called, if we're saved, the children of God. It is a big thing that we as hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners have been born into God's family. That is a big deal. Let me ask you a question this morning, fair question. What is a big deal in our home? What? Just think about it. What's a big deal in your home? Run it through your mind a little bit. You got a home. You. What is a big deal? If we were to stop and analyze the last few times something in our homes was a big deal, what would it have been about? Just asking. Has there ever been a big deal about something connected to God? Has there ever been a big deal about something not that God did for us, but just something connected to Him? Who He is, and the privilege of us knowing Him and knowing the truth and having the truth and being His child, has that ever been a big deal in your home? Has it ever been a big deal? The Bible says God is great. It's a big deal to be saved. It's a big deal to have a Christian home. It's a big deal. And man, there ought to be praise, not just at church. There ought to be praise in our homes. There ought to be praise in our individual lives. Yeah, it's a big deal. God is great. The Bible says in verse number 5 that our Lord is above all little g gods. And the Bible says that over and over again. Aren't you? See, folks, look, there are some things in this world that are pretty big little g gods. But your uppercase God is greater than all those. He's above all those. What kind of gods is He talking about? Money? I'm not being ugly this morning. Listen, I have 29 years plus, I have always, let me put it this way, rejoiced with people. I just rejoiced with a man standing in that aisle right back there this morning who recently got a promotion at work and is in line to get the next promotion. In fact, it's just about sure to happen. And we've been praying about that with him, and I rejoiced with him about that. I'm happy to see our people prospering in jobs and vehicles and houses and all of that. But let me tell you something. In a lot of Baptist homes, the last time a big deal was made, it was because of something financial. God is greater than money. This book is more valuable than silver and gold. What's a big deal at your house? Popularity? What's a big deal at your house? Possessions? Sports? I love sports. The Bulldogs are 10-1. Amen. I love it. Iowa won yesterday. Beat Illinois. Tough. I'm sorry. I love sports. But I want to tell you something. Sports can become a little g god real quick. If you don't believe sports is not a god, you ought to step back from my viewpoint and take a look at what's happened in the church, school, and homeschool movement when it comes to sports. It's like the NCAA. It's a recruiting war. Makes me sick that it's gotten so big to us. So big to us. I'm not against it, but brother, I'm going to tell you something. Sports is not great. God is great. When's the last time something about God was a big deal in your house? Something about God was a big deal in your family. To the point where you just said, you know, praise the Lord. God is good. God is great. Get this idea down, people. God is great. We should praise Him. It should be a big deal in our home to be saved, to have a Bible, that we get to go to church on Sunday. Has that ever been a big deal? Is that a big deal on Saturday night? Hey, kids, get your stuff ready. Tomorrow's church. Hey, kids, get your baths taken. Lay your clothes out. Tomorrow's church. Hey, Pastor, my kids just are bored with coming to church. What do you make a big deal out of? A big deal. Praise Him, folks. He is great. Don't run from praise. Don't you say, well, I just never feel like praising the Lord. Well, why not? Are you serious? And that's our problem. Our problem is not that we don't ever feel like it. Our problem is we live our Christianity based on what we feel like doing. It's not an option. It's a command. Praise Him. Praise Him. This is different than Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, Lord, thank You for my job. Thank You for my vehicle. Thank You for my food. Thank You for my house. Thank You for... praising is, God, You are great. God, You are wonderful. God, You are high and lifted up above all that is. And we love You and we thank You. You're a wonderful God. You're a big deal. That's what praise is. Now look, you don't have to be as loud as some people, but you're telling me in your heart you're never moved to praise God? Praise ye the Lord. You say, well, but that's to the Jews. They were the only ones who were allowed into the house of God. You know what, folks? What's really bad? It's really too bad that for some reason we've made the Old Testament irrelevant to you and me in this day and age. The New Testament is full of references to the Old Testament. Somehow, God and John and Peter and Paul and Matthew and Luke and the writers of the New Testament, somehow they missed this idea that the Old Testament is not relevant. Because Jesus quoted from it, and Paul quoted from it, and references were made to it over and over again, but we have men today who are telling congregations, church houses full of people, that the Old Testament is irrelevant. I don't want to stand before God someday as a God-called preacher and face God knowing that I told the people at our church that part of His book, a great part of His book, was irrelevant. By God's grace, I ain't doing that. No, friend. Praise. And by the way, you understand that in the Second Temple, there was a court of the Gentiles? And so when He says, praise, verse 2, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, the Lord is great. Folks, do you understand? He's not talking about what God is doing for them. He's talking about what God is. He's great. He's good. It's a big deal to know Him. Then, what time I have left this morning, we should not only praise Him, we should bless Him. And when we use the word bless, we throw it around. You know, God bless you, ever. You're blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, yeah, okay. Usually that means, you know, we got a job, we got a car, we got a house, we got clothes, we got good things. And those are blessings of God. Those are provisions that we shouldn't take for granted. But, you know, bless is something different here. It's a different word. It's kneeling and giving adoration like a dog would lick the hand of its master. Worship. I said Wednesday night. We had cats when we had moments of temporary insanity. We had a cat. But when I was a boy. And you never came through the house and a cat met you at the door. But if you had a dog, when you came through the door, where was that dog? Especially if it's a lab. Slobber everywhere, huh? Now, maybe you have a weirdo cat who shows you adoration, okay? Maybe you have a weirdo cat. You come through the door, the cat just looks at you. Oh, he's back. But that dog, isn't it interesting that the definition of the word worship is like a dog licking his master's hand? Why do we worship Him? Because He is worthy. I think there are five times, don't hold me to that, it may be six. I think there are five times when the words back-to-back together, worship God, are used. Maybe more than that, but I think it's six, seven, somewhere in that range. I do know this. Two times the words worship God are used in the book of Revelation. Both times, John fell down. Now listen, John fell down on his knees to worship an angel. Both times, he fell down on his knees. Both times, the angel said the exact same thing. See thou do it not. What's he saying? Don't you worship an angel. And let's take that further. Don't you worship a man. Because the next thing the angel says is, see thou do it not. Worship God. People, he did not tell John to change his position. He didn't tell John to get up off your knees. He didn't tell John, don't let your heart be full of adoration and wonder and awe. He didn't tell him to change any of that. He just told him, you make sure that the object of your worship is God. Because only God is worthy of my worship. I don't think it's wrong for you and me to say, I adore my wife, I adore my husband. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There should be some adoration in the house, a spousal relationship. But in our relationship with God, spiritually speaking, the only one worthy of worship is God. I mentioned on Wednesday night about Abraham and the covenant and how that Genesis 21, the word everlasting is used for the fifth time in the book of the Bible. The sixth time, excuse me. Four times it had been used about the covenant. One time it was used about the land, which was part of the covenant. But in Genesis 21, Abraham is not worshiping the covenant. He worshiped the everlasting God. He worshiped the one who gave the covenant. And people, I wonder sometimes if we're not more happy and thrilled with being saved than we are happy and thrilled with knowing the one who made salvation possible. Amen. I'm not saying don't be glad you're saved. But thank God that you're saved. Thank Him. And then worship the one who made it all possible. Amen. You know, the covenant is only as good as the one who gives it. And we've been given everlasting salvation. You know why He can give us an everlasting salvation? He's an everlasting God. Let's face it, let's be honest. Most of our worship is directly connected to things that God has done for us, given to us. And almost 100% of the time, it's because we think they're good for us. Who's it about, folks? Who's it really about? It's about us. Thank you, God, this is good for me. This is good for my family. Thank you. When is the last time, driving to work, kneeling by your bed, sitting quietly in a chair, your heart was filled with adoration for Him? Him. God, you are great. You are good. I worship you. I adore you. No. Hallelujahs, praise the Lord's, glory to God in the church service don't bother me. I'd get bothered if we never had them. I'm more bothered by people who would say, I just never have any feeling of needing or wanting to worship God or praise God. Well, I've got to start wondering what's going on in your life and your relationship with the Lord. Psalm 103, don't turn to it. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. and all that is within me. That's wholehearted, sincere worship. Lord, I love you. You're great. You're good. I thank you. I love you. We better be careful. And by the way, you can express those sentiments to God sitting in this, standing in this auditorium with an open book in your hand, singing a song of worship from your heart. It can be directed straight to the throne room of heaven. In fact, it should be. And when we give, it's like, God, you're great. You're so deserving of this. I'm so happy I can do this for your cause. Worship. You know what this is not? It's not ritual. It's not went to church today. As opposed to somebody, how was church, oh man? We sang more love to thee. My heart was filled with love for God. I was able to sing. It was a great service. We opened his book and I looked at some verses with the pastor. God's big, God's great, God's good. That's worship. I'm not going to let some people who are abusing it steal the reality of it from me. I'm going to praise the Lord, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to bless the Lord. Bless Him. I could say more about verses 19 and 20 and who was told to bless the Lord, but our time is up. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving is great. I'm all for it. Time and the season of the year, it's on our minds. But people, there ought to be year-long hunger in our heart to praise Him and bless Him, worship Him. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge to my heart in all of this. I don't want to get starchy and stiff in my salvation. Oh God, no, I don't. So please help me today. You are great. You are great. Good. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of our worship, our heartfelt adoration and love for who you are. You're worthy to be kneeled to. You're worthy to have hands raised to in sincere adoration. You are worthy. And someday when we all gather in heaven, it'll be a huge worship service as we worship the one sitting on the throne. Oh, glory to God. That'll be a wonderful day. Give us a taste of that now in our hearts as we live for you, is our prayer. Help us, oh Lord. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question this morning. Did the Holy Spirit of God slip by where you're sitting today and just gently tug on your heart and say, man, this is something that you need to get back to? It's been too long since you praised Him, too long since you worshiped, since you licked His hand in worship. Just loved on Him. It's been too long, and God spoke to you about it this morning. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning as God speaks to your heart? Amen, amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Let me ask this question today. Would there be somebody here who would say, Brother Angel, I don't know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure that I would go to the heaven you were talking about. I'd like to know that because I don't know that. I'm unsure of it. Where I'm going to spend eternity. Can I pray for you this morning? Is there somebody here who would raise a hand and say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Slip your hand in the air, up and right back down where I can see it just for a moment, just momentarily, so I can pray. Maybe you are confused about it. Anybody like that here today? God bless you. Now, if you know you've been saved and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you can come. We already have someone lined up to baptize this morning. Maybe if you've just been saved, you come and let me tell the church that you trusted Christ as your Savior. But if God spoke to your heart this morning about this matter of true praise and true worship and a heart that's filled with more than thanksgiving, praise because God is great and God is good. and worship, licking the hand of the Master in adoration and love. Ladies, I want you to find the song today. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. Take a moment to find that in your songbook. And I want the Brother Gardner to sing that for us. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee, all the follies of sin I resign. We'll find that in the songbook. And let's have an invitation this morning in just a moment. And let's ask the Lord to work in our hearts. And if you're not sure that you're saved, you can come and make sure of that this morning. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gardner singing, My Jesus, I love Thee. Worship it.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree.
Ask yourself that question this morning. What is God ever a big deal in our house? God ever a big deal in our house? Not just because of what He's done for us, but because of who He is. His Word, His day, His people. God's a big deal. Let's love Him and show Him that we love Him. Let's tell Him. Let's adore Him. Let's worship Him. Big deal. Thank you, Brother Gardner. Be seated, please, if you will, this morning. And we have one to baptize here, I believe, in the back. But before I do that, Janet Jackson, right down here, Tom's mother. And Janet, would you mind standing there with Mary? This morning, she came to our discipleship class and was teaching the lesson on the assurance of salvation. And I could see as we went into the lesson that Janet was just confused. She was soaking it up, and you could just, and God just said, stop. And so I stopped, and we went through the plan of salvation, and Janet trusted Christ as her Savior this morning. That's thrilling. Yeah, and you can weep over that, brother. Amen. You can weep over that, sure. Hey, there's an ornery, sorry old kid that got kicked off the bus. How many times, Tom? But he got his heart right with God. Amen. And been working on mom to come. And mom got saved this morning. Isn't that good? Thank you, B.C. to Janet. So in a minute, we'll have you come by and shake hands with her on your way out.